Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
Well, good morning, Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins. You're a member of the bar, and for the last couple weeks, you've really set that bar high, bringing in some pertinent information, timely information that's helping the small business community out there. We talked about the PPP on April 2nd. You were the first to break that, which unveiled on April 3rd, and now we may have a Paycheck Protection Program Part 2. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. So we originally, the Congress appropriated $380 million.
Billion.
Sorry, billion with a B.
We don't talk about millions anymore.
$380 billion was appropriated for the initial Paycheck Protection Plan. It lasted all of about 13 days mm-hmm. before the plan ran out of money. And then, of course, that's been a political football, so to speak, that's
sure.
been thrown back and forth over the last couple of weeks about getting some more funds to have Paycheck Protection Round 2. And Tuesday, the Senate got a deal done. And in that bill, $484 billion total.
More than original.
But $310 billion is allotted for Paycheck Protection Program. So $310 billion being infused, so not quite a double up on the program, but pretty close. And we'll see, the House is supposed to potentially pass that today from what I was reading.
Yeah.
And then, of course, President Trump has been very adamant that he would be signing that bill into law. And, you know, what's interesting about this is that we were, as practitioners, we were interested to see if there was going to be any changes relative to the Paycheck Protection Program. So the Paycheck Protection Program, just in the kind of the nuts and bolts around it, is for small businesses, supposed to have less than 500 employees,
right.
but there's multiple exceptions to the rule.
We've seen that.
You know, and really it's designed to be used for payroll, mortgage interest, rent, utilities. And as long as you spend the funds in an allowable way on those particular items, then you are forgiven. Your loan is ultimately turns into a grant, for lack of a better word, and it's completely forgiven. And your maximum amount is 2.5 times of your payroll
right.
cost. That's your
yep.
maximum amount that you can get relative to that. And then anything that's not forgiven turns into a 1% 2-year loan,
mm-hmm.
and payments start 6 months after your loan is funded. So those are the kind of the nuts and bolts relative to the Paycheck Protection Program. And what we were looking for, Mike, is they've been putting out guidance.
Mm-hmm.
The SBA put out an interim final rule with a lot of Q&A about, you know, how this money can be used. What are some of the devils in the details, so to speak? But still a lot of unknowns. And, you know, unfortunately, the bill, this new funding bill, was just really just a mere appropriations bill.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get really any more guidance relative to the Paycheck Protection Program.
It's a first-come, first-served program.
First-come, first-served program, and the money's there. And, you know, these are the guidelines
yeah.
that are currently in effect. You know, in the question, and everyone's in the back of their mind is, you know, are there going to be additional regulations? Is that interim final rule that I mentioned, are they going to spell out some more things where, you know, one of the big things that a couple of the Republican senators were speaking of is, you know, you certify on the form that your business is, you know, is down basically
mm-hmm.
Due to the coronavirus. What does that mean? Is there going to be digging background into your,
yeah,
into your business?
It's pretty loose.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Loose. And that's the thing is that the, you know, when I originally read the bill, read the paycheck protection portion of the bill. It's not that long
no.
in the 800 pages, but the forgiveness section, Mike, is about a paragraph.
It's amazing.
And that's what really is going to be at the forefront of businesses' minds, because, you know, right now they need the money. You know, a 1% loan over 2 years is fine, payable in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how long this thing's going to last.
No.
They really need the
guess.
Money to keep going. And they want to know at the end of the day, they're not going to be forced to repay in any way, shape, or form. And we don't want to change the rules relative to the forgiveness on this. But unfortunately, at this point in time, all I can tell you, and I'll get into some little details about, you know, how I believe you should spend your money if you're one of those people that got the funds, and how you should treat that money in order to be prepared for an SBA audit. of the forgiveness section, but you really need to, you know, you really need to be cognizant that this is a, we mentioned day-to-day changes, and I'm not convinced that there will not be more changes and more rules and regulations that are going to roll out.
Let's hold your thought there, Andrew. We still have Paul on the line from Cape Carter. I want to get his question in here. Good morning, Paul. You're with Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I have a question. I was talking to my tax preparer yesterday, and they told me that despite the fact that the federal return is not due till July 15th, my North Carolina return, I'm still required to pay my tax, you know, my taxes due by the 15th, or I pay interest on that. Is that correct?
You're talking, Andrew couldn't hear the question in the studio because we're socially distanced apart. He's talking about the payment of quarterly taxes. Is that correct, Paul?
Negative.
No.
The North Carolina tax return due on July 15th, but if you owe taxes, I was told you have to pay by April 15th. And I was wondering if that sounds correct to him.
So I think, Paul, and again, not being able to hear entirely, it sounded like to me what you said is that you were wondering whether payments for North Carolina is due by April 15th. And the answer to that question is that yes, what the Department of Revenue has stated is that interest on your payments will continue to accrue because that is a statutory law that has not been changed. However, penalties that would be associated with your failure to pay by April 15th will be waived. Now, I've heard reports from a lot of senators in North Carolina stating that they want this to change. They want to waive the interest as well. Unfortunately, Paul, right now I can tell you that there hasn't been any movement relative to waiving that interest. But that is always on the table because tax laws are always passed, you know, retroactive to a certain date. And so I could see this coming down the pike where the North Carolina legislature says, for this particular purpose, no interest will be collected on money and funds that were due from April 15th to July 15th. But unfortunately, that's not law yet. That's just my hunch about what is likely to happen because they're going to feel some heat on this and they're going to want to make sure that we've been kind of lock, stock, and barrel with the federal government relative to the extension of the deadlines and everything in North Carolina. But that one little piece, that one little interest piece is still hanging out there relative to the state of North Carolina.
Okay, great. That was my question. My second question is, what determines whether I need to pay estimated income tax for the state of North Carolina?
Yeah, your prior year filing. So whatever your prior year filing was, there's a form typically that gets generated when you either prepare your return or if you're an accountant that prepares your return for the previous year, they'll show on there, you know, you need to make these estimated tax payments in order to not have a penalty for failure to remit estimated tax payments. So it's all based on your previous year's return. Now, if you have a change in your return, then it's possible that you know that you're having significant tax attributes that are being changed in this particular year. You might not owe estimated taxes because if the prior year says you do, but you know that you've changed significantly, then as long as you're within that 90% threshold of what you paid last year, then you're going to be just fine.
So then you're saying that, like, a typical Marine who lives here in, Onslow or Carteret County, whose income basically is going to stay the same other than, say, maybe a 2 or 3% pay increase in January, he would be required to pay estimated income tax?
As long as you were required to, you know, as long as what your return spit out the year before was, yes, you're required to pay estimated taxes. I tell you, a Marine, likely, you know, with the withholding attributes that you have, you're probably not going to have to pay estimated taxes. The ones that we're really concerned about paying estimated taxes are the individuals that don't have withholdings on their tax returns. So, you know, 1099s, if you receive 1099s, if you're an independent contractor, those are the ones that typically are the ones that are paying estimated taxes because they're not having income tax withheld from their paychecks. So probably just a Marine who has income withheld, you're probably not going to be responsible for estimated taxes, in my opinion, unless there's some other income that you're making on the side.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate your help.
No
Thanks,
problem.
Paul. Thanks, Paul. Good question. So we still have about 3 minutes left in our segment today, Andrew. What else did you, what other nuggets did you bring into the studio today?
Yeah, so, and Paul had great questions there. You know, question. just want to talk about that. And the reason he has good questions is because all this stuff is changing, you know, and all I can do right now is tell you what the law is and then maybe get into where I think the law might be going, especially
sure.
relative to North Carolina taxes. You know, and these estimated taxes, again, the good news for Paul is, and the good news for our listeners, they did fix this problem relative to the payment of estimated taxes. So if you think you owe them, then the good news is it's pushed back to July 15th.
Right.
And we fixed the quarter problem that we mentioned
yep.
before.
So it's not
213. It is going to be 123 moving forward relative to payments of estimated taxes. So that's a good thing. It is pushed to July 15th. So just wanted to kind of close the loop there. On the Paycheck Protection Program, if you are one of those individuals that received funds, I really think it's time because you've got funds, you got them in your account, you know, you got to start spending the money appropriately on that payroll, that mortgage interest, that rent, that utilities. You know, I highly encourage you to have a separate bank account for these particular funds. And then, you know, seek advice. You know, don't just go make a payment. And then go back and regret the payment was made later because, oh, that might not apply for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would certainly say seek your CPA out. If you have questions, you can certainly reach out to me. I'm closely monitoring these details. I mean, I will tell you that I've been reading the guidance. The plan itself is, like I said, a work in progress.
The moving target.
Moving target. And, you know, and I want to know what the next thing's going to be, what the next regulation is going to be when it gets passed.
Give Andrew Foster a call at Harvell and Collins 252-726-9050 or go online harvellandcollins.com. They're working, they're essential, and they're there to help you. It's 252-726-9050, Harvell and Collins. Thanks, Andrew.